Forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies based on product and subscription plan.
Hey guys, did you know there's a generic form of Viagra that works just the same but is 95% cheaper? And you can get it online at hims.com/joy. Through Hims, you'll get a free medical consultation to determine the ED medication that's best for you. Discreet shipping if prescribed, a 100% online process, and a range of treatment options, including trusted generic alternatives to the name brands, at up to 95% off. ED is personal, and at Hims, so is treating it. Just go to hims.com/joy and get connected to a licensed medical provider online for free. With zero copay, no expensive appointments, and no awkward face-to-face conversations. To start your free online visit, you need to go to this exclusive address, hims.com/joy. That's hims.com/joy for your free online visit, hims.com/joy.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Former Vice President Mike Pence, in an interview with radio host Eric Erickson, says he plans to sit out of voting this election, saying he doesn't agree with the Republican agenda and can endorse former President Trump's repeated assertion that Pence should have set aside his oath on January 6th to overturn the election results. Pence also making it clear he's not voting Democrat.
I could never vote for Kamala Harris as President of the United States or Tim Walz as her running mate.
On the campaign trail, Vice President Kamala Harris campaigning in Arizona today. Donald Trump is holding a rally in Montana. Israel has reportedly killed another top Hamas leader in Lebanon. It follows three assassinations in the past month of Iranian-backed militant leaders, and it comes as the U.S. and Middle East leaders push for renewed ceasefire talks in Gaza. And remnants of Debbie barreling through the Northeast today with torrential rain and the threat of tornadoes. This is ABC News. ABC's Chuck Severson. In Brazil, no survivors in a fiery plane crash into a residential area. 58 passengers and four crew members on board that twin-engine plane. A plane going down in the state of Sao Paulo. More schools are banning cell phones.
At two high schools in Concord, California, the school year is beginning with a big new rule. No cell phones. Students have to put their phones in sealed pouches each morning and can't get them back until the end of the day. Nikki Klasinski isn't totally on board.
We can't unlock it at all. We can't have it during lunch.
Studies show when cell phones are banned in classes, test scores go up and bullying and anxiety go down. But some parents argue they want to be able to reach their child during an emergency. Alex Stone, ABC News.
Today marks 10 years since a white police officer shot and killed a black teen in Ferguson, Missouri, his death sparking months of protests and renewing debate over relations between U.S. law enforcement and the black community. I'm Michelle Franz in ABC News.
The smarter way to clean your floors, it's time to make the swap. Swiffer Power Mop.
Introducing the new Swiffer Power Mop, the all-in-one tool that gives you a mop and bucket clean in half the time. The solution's built right in, so no heavy bucket. And the pad has hundreds of scrubbing strips to get deep into grout. Don't mop harder, mop smarter.
Swiffer Power Mop! Swiffer Power Mop!
Summer's just getting started, so fill your cooler with the smooth and refreshing taste of Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. It tastes like real iced tea because it's made with real brewed tea. And with a 5% kick of alcohol, Twisted Tea is perfect for the beach, the lake, or wherever you're hanging out and day drinking with your friends. Look for the bright yellow cans. Twisted Tea Hard Iced Tea. Keep it twisted.
Twisted Tea Brewing Company, Cincinnati, Ohio. Please drink responsibly.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayling. The Wisconsin Department of Justice launches a new missing child alert. Attorney General Josh Call was in Milwaukee Thursday to roll out the system, which expands the criteria for issuing alerts.
Having a child go missing is any parent's nightmare. I think any parent would tell you that. And this alert system is one that will help us locate more missing kids in the state of Wisconsin.
The new missing child alert can be issued for those missing under 10 years old who don't meet Amber Alert criteria, and those under 18 with disabilities that prevent them from returning home. It was inspired by 5-year-old Prince McCree of Milwaukee and 10-year-old Lily Peters of Chippewa Falls, who both went missing and were later found dead. Car stolen over 3 decades ago was found in the Wisconsin River. The Richland County Sheriff's Office says crews pulled the late 80s Pontiac Grand Prix from the river by the Lone Rock Bridge near the Sauk, Richland, and Iowa County lines. Thursday, the Sheriff's Office said they located the owner of the car and learned it was stolen out of Monroe County in 1990. It's not known how long the car was in the river. Nothing suspicious was found in the car, and it appears no one was hurt when the car went in. Sheriff's Office is investigating just how it ended up in the river. Numbers are in from last month's Speed Enforcement Day. The Wisconsin State Patrol said that on June 26th, they performed nearly 1,600 traffic stops, with about a third resulting in citations for speeding and another third given warnings. They added that 28 of the stops involved drivers surpassing a 100-mile-per-hour speed. The 24-hour effort by several state law enforcement agencies aims to educate drivers on the dangers of speeding and to save lives. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Rugged outside, comfort inside. Working outside all day, you want to be in control. And TYM Tractors puts you in control with the TYM Climate Control Cab. This cab is designed with your comfort in mind, with temperature controls, plenty of headroom, and noise reduction. Rugged comfort that makes tough jobs a little bit easier. Work smarter, not harder. But you can't buy a TYM tractor just anywhere. It's only sold at special authorized TYM dealers, like Synergy Cooperative, Highway 25 in Ridgeland.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Partly cloudy and breezy today, with winds whipping out of the northwest, dragging our high temperatures well below average and only reaching the mid-60s. Few spotty showers may sprinkle in this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow it'll be beautiful and a touch warmer, highs nearing 70. Grandpa's barbecue sauce. Get yours now at grandpasbbqshop.com. Right now, 67 degrees.
And welcome in. It's time now for AOA, Agriculture of America, as we talk about issues impacting farming, ranching, and rural America. Great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen, and we have an awesome show lined up for you today. It's one of my favorites each and every month. It's our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable. Normally, we do it every first Friday of the month, but we pushed it back a week here for the month of August, and looking forward to the discussion with Chad Epler from Kansas and Matt Poe from Mississippi. They're going to join us starting in segment two for a conversation about a wide range of topics: ag economy, lack of a farm bill, commodity prices. We'll probably get into some climate smart ag stuff, sustainable aviation fuel. I got a lot of topics on my list to talk about with Chad and Matt. So looking forward to this coming up here in segment two. And as we really get to the heart of some of the things that farmers and ranchers are thinking about across the country, that's the whole key with this extended roundtable. I want to just kind of take most of a program each and every month and just let it be kind of an open forum. Let's talk about different things and issues that are on the minds of various farmers and ranchers from around the country. So looking forward to the August roundtable coming up here in just a little bit. Let's kick the show off, though. We'll take a look at some news headlines to get things going here today. And I know a couple different stories I've been keeping tabs on here this past week. One of them is the Environmental Protection Agency is investigating the supply chain of at least 2 renewable fuel producers amid industry concerns that some may be using fraudulent feedstocks for biodiesel to secure government subsidies. Now, Farm Policy News says the EPA, they declined to elaborate further or identify the companies being targeted because the investigations are ongoing. A flood of used cooking oil from China and elsewhere is causing several senators to question whether some of the shipments meant to supply the biofuel market may be fraudulent. Producing biodiesel from sustainable ingredients like cooking oil could earn refiners a number of state, federal, and environmental climate subsidies, including tradable credits under the renewable fuel standard. Investigators are trying to determine whether some supplies labeled as used cooking oil are cheaper and less sustainable than virgin palm oil that's been associated with deforestation and other environmental damage. Cooking oil imports reached 3 billion pounds in 2023. Well, ag bankers are fearing an economic cliff in farm country without a new farm bill. That's according to one longtime ag banker who testified before the House Agriculture Committee recently. Tony Hotchkiss has spent the last 41 years in ag banking and now chairs the Agriculture and Rural Bankers Committee of the American Bankers Association.
With rising input costs and lower commodity prices, farmers and ranchers have worked through the liquidity and working capital they built up over the past few years at a more rapid pace than anticipated and are now beginning to leverage equity through refinancing debt.
And that has bankers nervous.
This has made agricultural bankers feel like they are looking over the cliff in regards to the agricultural economy.
Hotchkiss, who grew up on farms in Iowa, says some farmers are starting to refinance debt, which is a risky practice.
The challenge with refinancing is that with low commodity prices, the cash flow is challenged to even meet the new payment requirements of the refinance debt.
And USDA is forecasting a net farm income to drop some 25% this year.
Based on this, the trend of refinancing debt may become more commonplace and more challenging as lenders and producers work together to bridge the low prices we're experiencing in ag commodities.
Thus, the urgent need, Hotchkiss argued, for the languishing House Farm Bill with its improvements to reference prices, FSA guaranteed loan limits, crop insurance, dairy supports, and beginning farmer and rancher programs. Well, China's farmland buys in the U.S. are attracting new attention on Capitol Hill. House Select Committee on U.S. CCP competition, chaired by Michigan Republican John Molinar, has its eye on a Chinese EV battery firm's land buy in that state.
Gotion is a Chinese-based company, and that it is buying farmland. It is 100 miles from a National Guard location where a lot of training is done.
And despite Michigan subsidizing a Gotion battery plant on that farmland over local opposition.
Fortunately, there is a process, the Committee on Foreign Investment in the U.S., that has jurisdiction now over this project. And my hope is that they will come back with a report that says this is not the place for a Chinese-based plant.
A Treasury-led CFIUS looks at national security issues raised by foreign investment and now includes USDA Secretary Vilsack as a member. Molinar, interviewed on News Nation, says China's presence here, especially near sensitive U.S. military facilities, is no small matter.
We've seen hundreds of incidents of gate crashing at military bases from foreign nationals, many of them Chinese.
China's U.S. land holdings are less than 1% of foreign-owned acres, but at 350,000 acres in 2022, it is still a serious concern. USDA is trying to improve its data collection to study the impact of foreign land holdings on rural communities and the exact location of foreign-owned land. Well, the USDA announced changes to the Farm Service Agency's farm loan programs that take effect on September 25th. The changes are intended to increase opportunities for farmers and ranchers to be financially viable. These improvements are part of the Enhancing Program Access and Delivery for Farm Loans rule. FSA Administrator Zach Ducheneau says, quote, USDA recognizes that Farm Service Agency's loan making and servicing activities are critical for producers, especially in tough times, providing borrowers the financial freedom to increase profits, save for long-term needs, and make strategic investments is the best way the nation's farmers and ranchers can build financial equity and resilience, end quote. Now, notable policy changes include providing all eligible loan applicants access to flexible repayment terms that could increase profitability and help build working capital reserves and savings. The change also establishes a new low-interest installment set-aside program for financially distressed borrowers. You can get more information. Just go to fsa.usda.gov. And finally, here are news headlines today. The FarmDoc team at the University of Illinois posted an article exploring the performance of crop insurance on their website. It explores the value of purchasing the supplemental or enhanced coverage option products. Since its inception in 2015, supplemental coverage has made relatively small payments for quoted soybeans in Midwest states, particularly Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio. University of Illinois ag economist Gary Schnitke says the low loss performance makes SCO, and for that matter, the enhanced coverage option use, particularly difficult to justify in the heart of the Corn Belt.
We looked at the performance of that across Midwestern states from 2015 through 2023. So we looked at if you paid the premium each year and then got the payment each year, how would it have performed? And in most cases, farmers would have paid more in than they would have received out. Again, that's for the period from 2015 through 2023.
Now, Schnicke notes in the Farm Doc Daily website article, it is easier to justify SCO and ECO use in the Great Plains states rather than the Midwest, which is defined as the Dakotas to Kansas and eastward to Ohio. You can find more on the Farm Doc Daily website. All right, coming up next here on AOA, it is our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable Conversation. We got a lot of topics to discuss. Our guests this month, Chad Epler from Kansas, Matt Poe from Mississippi. We'll talk with Chad and Matt coming up next here on AOA, Agriculture of America. Join us every Tuesday for Around the Table, brought to you by CHS, as we discuss how cooperatives support farmers and ranchers and build strong communities. Each week, we'll chat with voices from throughout the cooperative system. From global market access to local expertise, we'll explore how co-op ownership means you own a world of opportunities. Tune in on Tuesdays or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more.
Hi, this is Leanne Womack. I fell in love with country music as a child listening to my dad spin records at a radio station. I always dreamed of hearing my own songs on the radio. I set a goal and achieved it. You can do anything if you set your mind to it. Never let anyone tell you it's impossible. So if you have the chance to sit it out or dance, I hope you dance.
This message brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. And MLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, this has quickly become one of my favorite conversations each and every month here on the program. It is time now for our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable, and joining us this month for a conversation, really excited to welcome both of these guys into the show. First up, he's a voice you've heard on our programming multiple times. He's very active in The state and national level organizations, commodity organizations, and more. Chad Epler from Kansas. Chad, how are you, buddy? Thanks for being here.
Hey, you're welcome. Pleasure to be here. Doing great. If we can survive this heat, we're going to start rolling with corn harvest here shortly.
Yeah, it's been pretty hot. I know, getting up there into the Plain States here the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure that's given a little bit of a pop to that corn crop, though, to help finish it off and get you close to the finish line. Right, Chad?
Yeah, we're really close. I mean, we were talking yesterday, maybe 4 or 5 days is where we're at. Some of that shorter season stuff will be ready. We actually had some neighbors try yesterday, and they were looking at about 20% moisture. So, I mean, it's really close. And it's crazy to think that here we are, first part of August, and it's corn harvest time.
Yeah, crazy. I know that's something that's a little more normal for folks down in the Delta. Joining us as well, our other guest, and it's someone I got to meet a few weeks ago at Corn Congress. We got to break some bread eat pizza together. Matt Poe from Mississippi. Matt, thanks for being here with us. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
How's things going down in your neck of the woods as far as crop development and more? How's things looking here as we get into August, Matt?
So we caught a pretty bad dry spell around late June, early July. My corn crop did, and we lost some yield with that little stretch. But we caught a lot of rains here lately. We're not going to have as many kernels as we wanted, but we're going to have some nice, big, pretty kernels. They filled out right there at the end, so we're coming along. Beans are pretty dang good. I mean, they're strong. And cotton, pretty good on cotton. We got a little dry, and then we had those cloudy days, but all three are looking pretty good. We're pleased.
I know. I was going to say, you got a pretty diversified operation down there in Mississippi, multiple different crops. And I know that's always an interesting kind of growing season for you when it comes to corn, beans, and cotton, isn't it, Matt?
It is. So with the corn and cotton, they're kind of exact opposites. The corn wants all the rain it can get, and the cotton, it needs a little rain here and there, but it likes big sunshine. I mean, that's what that plant needs. But we had a little too much this time.
Definitely. Well, and Chad, I know for you, if you like, you know, you guys in Kansas, you're almost going year round with HRW wheat and corn and soybeans, et cetera, aren't you, Chad?
Yeah, we actually, about 5 years ago, our area really switched over to soft wheat. And so we're planting mostly soft wheat now. And of course, you know, the yields, you can push those yields pretty well, but really where the money seems to be made the last 3-4 years is in the double crop beans. So you get, you know, let's say you get 90 bushel wheat and come back with, you know, 45, 50 bushel double crop beans, man, that's a really nice check. If we have commodity prices, you know, help us out, but still it's really nice, to be able to produce what we do. Especially because of the rainfall situation. I mean, we're 45 inches a year, and we get half of it. Like this year, we got half of it at the end of April. Like, okay, can we not spread this out just a little bit? Matt, you need some more. You know, we'll send you some then, but then bring us some more later. June 1, it just shuts off, and it's just that's kind of what has happened here a little bit.
That's just how Mother Nature can be sometimes, unfortunately. Well, you mentioned commodity prices, Chad. Maybe that's a jumping off point for us here as we talk about various issues. Obviously, guys, I know prices are not looking too great right now on the futures board. A lot of cases we're below cost of production here as we're rolling out of the 23 marketing year and 23-24 marketing year and into the 24-25 marketing year fully. I guess what's your perspective on and where commodity prices are right now, and what's your mindset looking at some of these price levels? Chad, maybe if you want to start, what are you thinking right now?
Well, nobody likes to go outside and light their dollar bills on fire. That seems like what has been happening here. It is disheartening to have all your inputs, you know, put everything you can into your crop, and then to see the commodity prices not where they need to be and not even close to break even. And my granddad would say, you can survive one bad crop, but two, you know, that's really hard. Three, you're really in trouble. But look, we had great wheat, not so good price. Hopefully we're going to have some pretty decent corn, and look at the price. I mean, we're talking this morning it was cash price was 380. And our basis isn't well, it's decent for here. It's nothing like what Matt has at all. But it should. But it is. It's frustrating and it makes you think. It's like, okay, we know that corn requires the most inputs and the most input costs. Do we come back with the same amount of acres? We increased our acres from 23 to 24, year 2023 to 24. And do we keep it the same? Some of that's rotational things that we have to deal with. But gosh, do we do that? Do we keep lighting those dollar bills on fire? However, my dad did say, son, if we as farmers are the limiting factor, then it is our fault. So do everything you can. Mother Nature's going to be what it is. The market's going to be what it is. But we can't be, as a farmer, can't be the limiting factor. So we keep pushing and keep trying and keep hoping for the best. But I'd like to think it's going to turn around sometime.
Yeah, hopefully it does. Well, and Matt, I mean, for you, your perspective being in the Delta and kind of mentioned it there, I mean, there's a lot of differences when it comes to basis and things like that, you know, from Kansas to Mississippi, obviously. What's your perspective on just where commodity prices are at right now and how that looks for your bottom line?
Well, we're actually kind of in the heels part of the Delta. We're right outside the Delta, but all my grains gets hauled to the Delta, so it's all the same up here. So kind of building off what Chad said, I mean, when you're talking about the American farmer, that's if you're going to make a bet on the American farmer, we can get down and we can get tight when we have to, and we can make something happen. But it is very disheartening. It's a gut punch when we work so hard and input costs are not coming down. They're staying up there. Fertilizer, yeah, slid down a little bit. Seed costs are still up. I mean, just because soybeans went to $10.50 doesn't mean the seed costs went down any. They still up there too. So. Cotton seed dang near $600 a bag. I mean, it's just a gut punch all the way around. But yeah, we're going to get through it. We always do. We find a way to get tight on our numbers, and we do find a way. And like you're saying, the corn is going to be sold on basis right now. We need a good strong basis in our area. My state, a lot of ours goes to poultry houses, and poultry houses have a high demand, so we get a decent basis. They cut it, I think, like 25 cents the other day. They said, why are we giving high dollar for corn when we can get it for the guy that I heard $3.50, $3.75 coming November, December. I mean, it's why give a lot for it now when you get it for cheaper later.
Yeah. Do you guys, how does your marketing change in a low price environment? Do you have to be more of a smart marketer and use more tools, futures and options, things like that in the toolbox? I mean, how does your mindset change in a low price environment, Matt?
We just kind of check our options where I might just call one place and just go with it. Now I'm going to call a couple different ones and just try to maximize what little profit I can get out of it. The cotton, we'll hold the cotton until next year. We'll get the, we'll get the loan amount out of it, and then we'll hold off and get the equity come whenever we see the price jump up a little bit. Sometimes that bites you in the butt. This year, it can't bite hard. I mean, it ain't much left down there to bite on. And corn, we'll try to ride it as long as we can. Beans the same way. It's bad.
It's tough. It is tough. It's a tough conversation to have. Chad, how about you? I mean, how does your mindset change?
Well, we're in a unique situation, specifically our farm. We don't have any on the farm storage. And I know that people that's listening, they might say, oh my gosh, how do you make it? How do you market? How do you, you know, able to move down the line here with what you're trying to do? Well, our option is a local elevator is what it is. And so we have to really start thinking about maybe putting together some different types of contracts and not put all the eggs in one basket. I know we're talking about basis contract for corn, but we want to get in the field and see what we're going to have before we do much of that stuff. So we are limited when we roll across a scale. I mean, that's our option is you store it or it goes to contract. That's the option that we have. There are people here with bins, quite a few. We just don't. And I think my dad and my uncle had some experiences younger dealing with some bins that maybe weren't up to par. And so that left a sour taste in their mouth. And so it really limits us. And then, you know, trying to work on options and figure out, is that going to pay? Is it not going to pay? Those are conversations that sometimes are really hard to have at our roundtable.
All right, we'll be back with more of our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable here on AOA right after this. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of the Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for the Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy. And they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
Folding a fitted sheet, programming the thermostat, matching your socks. Why are simple things sometimes so complicated? Thankfully, with an auto owner's insurance independent agent, getting the right coverage for your home doesn't have to be one of them. So you can get back to more important things, like finding that missing sock. That's simple human sense.
Your hometown auto owner's insurance agents working for you. The Jerry Thompson Insurance Agency, downtown Durand.
We all know what the 4-H pledge is. I pledge my head to clearer thinking, my heart to greater loyalty, my hands to larger service, and my health to better living for my club, my community, my country, and my world. Big city folks might not get it, but Western Wisconsin does. I'm Rebecca Cook, and I grew up on a dairy farm that's been here for generations. I'm a proud 4-H alumni, and I'm running for Congress. Farms like my family's have been under siege for decades. Corporate dairy has driven so many of us out of business. And what's Washington done? Nothing. Politicians like Derek Van Orden focus more on culture wars than the war to save our way of life. He wants to ban all abortions. I want to keep the government out of our private decisions. Van Orden actually brags about sexually harassing military women. I honor women who serve our country. I'm Rebecca Cook, candidate for Congress, and I approve this message because the values of 4-H beat the values of Washington any day of the week. Paid for by Cook for Congress.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
Well, we are joined here for the August Farmer Roundtable this month with Chad Epler from Kansas, Matt Poe from Mississippi. So we think about commodity prices at low levels, things like that. Well, let's turn our attention to some policy-related issues, and particularly the Farm Bill
lack of a farm bill, no movement done before the August recess, a lot of concern that we're going to have another extension, and then what does this look like, you know, for farm bill prospects, either in a lame duck or most likely next year now? And you think about this, we're 6 years into a five-year farm bill at this point. Reference prices, crop insurance, a lot of support levels are at levels that, and quite frankly, just don't work for today's environment. So I guess, what are your perspectives on this farm bill situation and what needs to be done here? Chad, your thoughts on this farm bill outlook right now?
I'm like Matt and probably everybody else. Let's get this thing done and whatever it's going to take. And we know, we understand that, you know, where we're at right now, it's election year. They're limited on how many days, you know, they're going to be in Congress and be in session and they're back campaigning at home. And so we just want it done. We want people to come together. It doesn't matter Republican, Democrat, Independent. It doesn't matter what you are. Come together because we feed the world. Farmers feed the world. And gosh, there's such few numbers out there. And I would love to take Matt, myself, Jesse, maybe you're involved too. The three of us go and say, hey, we're going to put it together, folks. You know, we're going to let us do it. If you're not going to do it, let us do it. I mean, that's just, I don't know. I mean, it is frustrating. We're kicking the can down the road. And next thing you know, we're going to have an extension. But with a change of administration, no matter who wins, you're going to have, you know, I see another scenario coming up next year, unfortunately. That's just my own opinion. It's nobody else's opinion. But we got to get it moved. We got to get it done right now.
Yeah, I agree. Matt, what are your thoughts and perspective on this farm bill situation right now?
It touches everything we do. I know Chad's on farm credit. He's involved in farm. I'm involved in farm credit. Touches that. Our insurance. I mean, it's everything we do is touched into that. And it's time to get something done with it. I know there's a lot of good people who are working on it. And there has been some movement with it. We started going up there. So I'm active in NCGA and I'm active in Farm Bureau. And we've been going up there for, 2-3 years now, just trying to get our input in on it. And we'll get there. I mean, it'll get there eventually, but sooner the better. I mean, it's time. I know personally they put the extensions in, but they overlooked the limitations on some of the payment programs. And that's hit some of our local farmers in the butt that they've hit limits on some of their stuff because even though the program got extended, they didn't extend the limit or didn't reset the limit. So some people that would have a budgeted some program money in, there's no money to get because they're at it.
Well, and I know that a lot of the sticking point, it sounds like it's kind of that same old situation we have every year. And this has only grown and grown as the monetary value of the farm bill has grown. But it seems like it's always ag versus nutrition versus the SNAP provisions. And when the SNAP, you know, provisions are making up over 3/4 of the farm bill, I know that just continues to be a lot of the roadblock here, so to speak. Am I right in saying that? Is that how you guys believe as well?
Yeah. You know, my wife and I were just talking about this last night that, you know, how big the farm bill is and it's called a farm bill, but you know, a lot of that's going to nutrition programs and those things are important. They absolutely are. And they have a place. And so we were talking about how inflation, you know, has driven the cost of everything up. Well, obviously the farm bill, you know, we're talking, you know, it's costing a lot of money to get these programs taken care of. So what needs to go? And so Matt and I are sitting here and, you know, we've been on the Hill and trying to make folks understand crop insurance. Without crop insurance, it's really going to, it makes it really hard on us when you have those years. But what can you give? What can you take back and forth? And I think that you have to be able to give up something to get something. So I don't know. It's I'm not going to say that one is more important than the other, but where we're at and the hats that we wear, you know, having those places that we can reference some comfort through crop mm-hmm. insurance is really important.
Well, and Matt, I think about this as well. It's always a heavy lift, just the differences regionally, the needs that you might need in a farm bill in Mississippi are maybe a little different than the needs of Chad and folks around him in Kansas. So that's always a bit of a sticking point, trying to figure out this farm bill and trying to, you know, essentially make everyone as happy as possible, right?
It is. So we have different crops. We have rice. We have cotton. That's not very prominent up here in Chad's area. So different crops, different basis, different commodities to talk about. So yeah, it comes in differently. But like you said, it's called a farm bill, but I don't think people really know how much it actually goes into the SNAP program. I mean, we do because we're here with it, but it's a major sticking point.
Yeah. Well, I think about this too, with the current state of, you know, commodity prices we talked about, the overall ag economy, I think that's another reason why getting some certainty done with a farm bill is important. We think about all the layoffs of John Deere, AGCO losing profits at its first half, I think $199 million loss at its first half. A lot of other companies showing, you know, losses in earnings. Now, some of that I think could be attributed to record profits in the last fiscal. But still, I mean, talk about this, guys. You know, seeing all these layoffs and earnings losses and more from all of these ag companies, I mean, Chad, it just feels like everything is kind of in this down cycle swing right now.
Yeah, and if you talk to the guys that with boots on the ground here, folks that I mean, family that I farm with, neighbors, whatnot, they're concerned about it. You think about the layoffs with deer and the impact of the communities that has taken place there. I understand that you have to deal with it, your bottom line, and a lot of this stuff is monetary driven. And well, the fact is that folks aren't buying as much farm equipment right now, and you know we're kind of in that same boat. And we're green, we're deer folks, but it does get really frustrating. When you see things like that's going on, I mean, how much more American can you be than John Deere, you know, mm-hmm. to me? And that, I don't know, I'm kind of sentimental when it comes to those things, but we need to keep those jobs at home, and it's impacting families and communities. And so I know it's about money. I understand that, but it's still not fair.
Yeah. Matt, your perspective on some of this downturn in the broader ag economy right now.
Well, I know down here, my personal farm, we bleed green. Everything here is green. We have great John Deere dealerships here. The service guys, the parts guys, I go to church with them, go to ball games with them. They're great guys. On the corporate end, big John Deere, I just wish they would care. I wish they'd put more time and effort into us as they do their stockholders. We are John Deere's us. I mean, that's American pride, mm-hmm. and it's not what it used to be. I mean, I don't like seeing the jobs going to Mexico. I want to see them stay here. I know they probably hired some more people in the 2021 when things are kind of wrapping up, and they're probably having to settle back out now. I understand that, but I mean, take pride in your company, take pride in the name you have, and take care of the American farmer. We've been here for y'all. Y'all be here for us. And I was watching something on TV and it really bothered me. There was a guy on John Deere. He was talking about that. They was talking about the seeing spray that they brought down the price of seeing spray on the sprayers. That's all well and good, but he completely missed the point. I'm not buying a new sprayer. I'm not buying seeing spray. I can't afford it. I don't need it. What I need help on is plows, bearings, just your everyday parts. I need, if they could help me there, that would help me more than anything else, because that's the stuff I buy on day to day. And that's my bottom line that just keeps on coming up. I don't need help on a new tractor right now. I'm not buying one. I'm not upgrading anything because I can't afford to. Help me on the level that I need help, not what y'all are trying to do.
I think your sentiment there is a great, you know, perspective and, you know, thinking about, okay, a lot of dealership lots pretty full right now. because you guys aren't wanting to upgrade in this environment right now, right?
Right. That's absolutely correct. I think about Heritage Tractor in Pittsburgh, what their lot looks like right now, and when you have a really big farmer that goes in there and trades, you know, every year, every 2 years, and three combines, three sprayers, and then there they sit. And so now what? Like Matt was talking about, you know, that we wish that Deere would think about us, the farmers, more than their stakeholders. Well, the way I see it, gosh, I think we're a stakeholder and pretty darn important one, and we should be taken care of. The mechanics, the local folks, all of those people, the store managers, the salespeople that we deal with every single day, they are outstanding. It's just when you get above that, the corporate, it's disappointing. I guess that's the word for me. It's really disappointing.
All right. Well, we are having a great conversation here today in our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable with Chad Epler from Kansas, Matt Poe from Mississippi. We are not done. Got a few other topics to talk about as well coming up in the last segment here of today's AOA. We'll be back with more here on Agriculture of America on the way right after the break.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Are you an annoying coworker? Sending emails when everyone else is sleeping? Do they ask, how do you sleep at night? Then you should go to Mattress Firm. They have knowledgeable sleep experts that can help you find a better bed, like a Tempur-Pedic. It has technology to keep you cool at night, meaning anyone, even people like you, can sleep. Get matched at Mattress Firm. Sleep at night. Restrictions apply. See store or website for details.
Texting enrolls you in a reoccurring automated marketing text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
10. Nice work.
Thanks. Taking Nugenix Total T makes a huge difference for me.
Nugenix? That's the testosterone booster with TV ads with Frank Thomas, right?
Yes.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yes. Nugenix is a great way to feel stronger with more energy and endurance. And as Frank says, she'll like it too.
Text RADIO to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix. Text RADIO to 321-321. That's RADIO to 321-321.
The new John Deere Gator XUV lets you cut, pack, drive, scout, weld, stack, feed, pull, load, tow, spray, and haul. All in a single day. Because with the highest cargo box volume in its class, customizable features, and a towing capacity of up to 4,000 pounds, it gets the job done. You just have to get in the seat. Learn more at your John Deere dealer or visit johndeere.com/GatorXUV. Attention.
This is Around the Table, where we explore the benefits of cooperative ownership. Today, Tyler Kelly, a propane commodity trading expert with CHS, provides an update on today's propane market outlook and some key tips for propane contracting strategies. Tyler, what's your contracting recommendations this season for farmers and ranchers who rely on propane to dry their crops and heat their ag buildings and homes?
Being proactive is critical, and what I mean by that is connect with your local propane retailer to come up with a plan that best fits your needs. Don't wait until the snow starts to fly or that first cold snap of the fall or winter to set in. And if you take the step to be prepared prior to when you really need the propane to dry your grain, heat your home, heat your farm operation, you can save yourself both time and headache down the road.
What is the market outlook for propane, and what factors do you expect will impact supplies in the near future?
Today, regional and nationwide propane supplies are sitting above historically average levels, and there's two main drivers behind those levels, the first being the mild winter that we experienced last year, and the second is that U.S. propane production is running at near record levels. But offsetting that high pace of domestic output has been the record rate of exports, pulling that supply out of the U.S. What really matters is, will there be a sufficient amount of supply where you need it and when you need it? And so setting a plan by contracting early and going into the season with your tanks full of propane is a great way to avoid the impacts from the unexpected.
How can propane users gauge how many gallons they'll need for the drying and heating seasons and determine appropriate storage needs?
Work closely with your propane supplier to analyze your average annual consumption and then adjust for any changes that you have to your situation. We'd also encourage that you evaluate all the supply and retail programs offered by your retailer and pick the one that best suits your situation.
Thank you for joining us around the table. Learn more about the benefits of cooperative ownership at cooperativeownership.com.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand. And many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Informing America's farmers and ranchers, AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
We're talking for our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable with Matt Poe from Mississippi, Chad Epler from Kansas. Gentlemen, I want to talk to you a little bit about sustainable aviation fuel and carbon programs as well before we run out of time here this month. And I know SAF, of course, so much opportunity there with sustainable aviation fuel. A lot of folks have talked about it being kind of the next ethanol boom, so to speak. And Chad, I know you do a lot of work on this at the state and national level, and I know Matt does too. I mean, what are some of the prospects for SAF right now? What's your feeling on the trajectory of where this is going, especially as we wait for this 45Z tax credit to be unveiled from Treasury?
Yeah, so how I see it is I see a huge carrot dangled in front, and I'm within reach, and I can almost just get a hold of it, but it keeps moving further away. And the reason it gets moved further away is because of government issues, whether it's 40B, 45Z, these requirements that airlines need to have, they just keep moving it back. And so I understand tax credits, airlines, that they need that tax credit. They want that tax credit, and they want to make sure that what we're doing here is sustainable, and what we do on our farm is, you know, doing the right thing and spraying the right thing and raising the right stuff. And well, to me, what they have done here with the 40B tax credit is they're wanting to bundle all these practices together and put them all together, no-till, enhanced efficiency, fertilizers, cover crops. Well, I can tell you, we do no-till, mostly no-till, not all, but mostly, but cover crops, they don't work here. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, to put all this stuff together and bundle it up with that sort of tax credit makes it really hard to tap into all that corn. When there's those kind of limitations on it. So the airlines want to use our corn ethanol. They want to do it. However, the government is saying, no, they have to meet this. And that really straps them. And then it hurts us. So we want to move corn. We want to get it moved. And it's that carrot that's out there, and it's within reach, but it just keeps moving a little bit farther away each time we grab for it.
Yeah, I would agree with you on that. Matt, your perspective being in Mississippi, I know a lot of other, you know, a lot of different parts of the country, it's a different conversation when it comes to SAF. What's that conversation like for your neck of the woods?
So here it doesn't play as big a role because we don't have ethanol like other areas do, but it is the demand. That's what we need to take care of. We have all this corn out there nationally. We need somewhere for it to go, and that's just another good use for it. Like ethanol was years ago, we need the SAF to come in there and eat up this surplus of corn we have, and that'll bring everybody's prices up. Mississippi, Iowa, Illinois, it'll bring everybody's up. That's the whole point of it, is just increasing demand, using our product somewhere.
Yep. I know in terms of climate smart ag practices, that's all kind of roped into this whole conversation and carbon programs and more, et cetera. And I've heard chatter from plenty of folks on social media in particular saying, I don't have time for this, et cetera, on my farm. What would you guys say to that, though? I know a lot of farmers, and you guys mentioned you guys do some, already do many of these practices, but there's some folks who don't, and they say that, I don't have time for this. They say nonsense or whatever. I mean, what would you guys say to that, Chad?
Well, I think to toot our own horn here a little bit, the American farmer, that is, we are stewards of the land. And we take care of the land. So if the soil isn't healthy and if the soil isn't being able to produce what we need, it's going to hurt our pocketbook at the end of the day. So we need to make sure that what's going in the soil is good for it, that we put on top of, whether it's spray or whether we're putting nitrogen in the ground, whatever we're doing, that we're doing it the right way, because we need to make sure that we are raising as good and healthy and clean crops as we possibly can. And for folks to maybe suggest that we don't do those things just because we're not using cover crops or just because we're not using a specific type of fertilizer, when they say that, we're not climate smart, well, I kind of take a little bit offense to that, because gosh, we really do. We do that every day. We're always thinking about how we can make that soil better and how we can make what we grow better. So, and I think the American farmer does an outstanding job of that anyway.
Yeah. Matt, your thoughts on that?
I mean, the soil is our engine behind our farms. That's it. I mean, that's topsoil. We want to keep it on the farm. I want my farm to be here. My granddad and my dad had it here for me. I want it here for my kids if they want it. And the soil is a driving factor. We want healthy soil. We want to keep it in the field. I don't want erosion. And people who think otherwise are just wrong. I mean, that's what we're here for. We use the cover crops. We use the nitrogen stabilizers. And, I mean, I think a lot of that stuff is really good and should be there. But I just wish we'd get credit for what we do sometimes.
Gentlemen, this has been an awesome conversation. We're up against the clock. I appreciate you both joining us, though, for this month's roundtable. And I wish you both a safe and happy harvest here as you guys get rolling in a few short weeks' time, a few short days' time. Chad Epler from Kansas. Chad, always good to talk with you, sir. Thanks for being with us here this month.
Jesse, appreciate it. Fun as always.
And Matt Poe from Mississippi, good to talk with you, and I look forward to having you back on the program as well again in the future.
Thank you. It was a blast. I really appreciate the opportunity.
And that is going to do it for our August Farmer Rancher Roundtable here on AOA. Man, oh man, what a great conversation with Chad and Matt. Thanks again to both of them for being with us here today. We covered a lot of topics and a lot of great perspectives from both those guys. So we'll have to get them back together and on the show again in the future for another roundtable. We're out of time here on AOA. Coming up on our next program, we're going to talk markets with Dara Newsom. We'll take a look at the weather with DTN's John Baranek and a conversation with Margaret Henry from PepsiCo about a new sustainable venture that they have launched. We're going to learn more about that coming up on the next AOA. For now, though, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us. I'm Jesse Allen. Have a great rest of your day.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly,
you need to be ready. And health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Everyone has a community to lean on. A neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you can easily find coverage options that fit your budget. If only it was that easy to name your baby.
How about Jaden?
Nope.
Okay, Michael?
Went to middle school with a glue-eating Michael.
Sebastian?
Dated one in college.
How about Damien?
Vampire name.
All right, Greg?
Not feeling it.
Okay, no worries. Jeffrey?
Oh, love that one.
Wait, really?
No.
Find coverage options that fit your budget with Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Get a quote at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in